You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev.
Rolling right along, Tuesday edition of the Jason Greger Show on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. How are you? Hopefully you are loving the weather, plus 28. It's great. Let's get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Shatified. For locations in the Edmonton area, walk-ins are welcome. You can get Shatified at Shatified.com. If you're looking for the best straight razor shaves and stylish cuts in town, get Shatified at Shatified.com. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us, as he always does, every week. And Kevin, lots and lots to discuss. I guess let's start with, and obviously, I guess in a sense, it was a little bit of a risk because he'd been out for a while, but Pittsburgh making the change in goal hasn't hurt them because really they've been dominating in front of the goalie and they haven't had to rely on their goalie the last few games.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's been a nice transition for Matt Murray, but I think the first game he was back in, there were some tests early, and listen, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to see Marc-Andre Fleury get the chance to finish what he started here. Because if you know Marc-Andre Fleury, you like Marc-Andre Fleury. That's just the reality. Such a great personality. I think a better goaltender than he's been given credit for. I think too many people still dwell on kind of pre-2013 failures, which in my mind at the time, and this kind of since been proven true, were all about a lack of goaltending coaching that's since been changed. But the reality was this was always going to be Sullivan's preference. Matt Murray was his guy. Not only last year did he win a couple of them, but right into the American Hockey League before Sullivan, you know, got the job in Pittsburgh. And the other thing is Sullivan hasn't hesitated to make a change. Even though Murray was his guy, when he started to show signs of struggling last year in the playoffs, don't forget that Marc-Andre Fleury got a shot. So I think there's a lot of people that would have liked to see Marc-Andre keep going, but the reality is this transition has been in the works for over a year. Murray is younger, he's cheaper, he's a little more efficient, he's bigger, and he's their goalie of the future. And so when Fleury stumbled, when the team stumbled in front of him, I don't think you could be shocked that the move was made. And based on how things went last season, even after the amount of time he's had off, I don't think you're shocked that he's doing well with it.
The Nashville Predators are into the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in franchise history. And in the first two rounds, Pekka Rinne and the Preds didn't give up a whole bunch. But against the Ducks, we started to see a few cracks, maybe a few dents in the armor, shall we say, for Pekka Rinne. What did you see in that third round that maybe you didn't like that he is going to have to sharpen up for the final?
Well, hey, we talked about this going into both, into the playoffs, into the second round, and into the third round. Consistency has been an issue for Rinne. If you look at his month-by-month breakdowns, it is just, it's absurd how he went from sub-900 October to goalie of the month in November and back and forth pretty much all the way through March. Well, the calendar flipped to April and he was able to sustain a really hot March. He didn't kind of revert. And if you really look at how he was playing, it's not massive changes. And yes, the defense and the play in front of him plays a big role in it, but he was just subtly less aggressive. And I guess the question, and I mean less aggressive when he was on the quote-unquote hot streaks versus the down months, he started to chase a little bit. And sometimes that can be a function of what's happening in front of you. As things get frantic, you get a little more energetic, so to speak, and you start to play a little more aggressively. And that, to me, whether it's a product of what's in front of him or not, that, to me, is what crept back into his game in Anaheim, and it's what's going to probably have to be removed by the goaltending coach, Ben Vanderklok, here before the final start, on Monday. When he chases, when he gets over aggressive, not only does he open up more holes in that big frame, but he just, for a goalie his size, there's no need for him to really be as far outside the crease as we saw him as the series progressed and outside of his post on lateral plays. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I've seen it on Twitter where you see the screen caps and there's a backdoor tap in, much like last night, and Rinne is actually outside of his post, kind of squared up to a shot wide. Now, the one last night was a tougher one because it was on a rebound and the play kind of kept going that way. But there's been other opportunities where, much like Marc-Andre Fleury, changed his game and started playing inside his posts on dead angles. Pekka-Rinne still isn't doing that, especially on the glove side, and that's leading to him being outside his post while the puck is tapped in on the back door over on his blocker side. So more prevalent one way than the other, but just overall as a trend, the level of aggression, and even on the clean shots that were beating him, we saw the low blocker, and there's a lot of talk about targeting his blocker. To me, that hitch is something we talked about at InGoal Magazine and identified even last year and the year before in the playoffs. But when he moves, when he over-moves with plays off the rush, it's not so much about one side or the other, although you do want to stay away from his glove, is the default off the release is to go down and pull his hands into his side and then chase pucks out. And we've talked about that before, that sort of down and then out rather than reacting in straight lines to the puck. All goalies sort of have that threshold in them. For Pekka, it's when he's moving too much. That's when he starts to go block first, then react. And again, at this level, at this time of year, you don't have time to add that delay to your game. And I thought the Ducks took advantage of it with shots to the blocker and shots from the middle of the ice. And it's going to be something where they need to rein him in so he's a little calmer, a little more stationary, reacting in straight lines with exceptional hands and not sort of putting himself in a position where he's moving or over-moving, and he adds that delay in his game and his reactions.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, the goalie coaching carousel, I guess, is officially now in motion as the Avalanche make it official. Francois Allaire is not coming back. We know St. Louis is looking for a goalie coach with Marty Brodeur not coming back. Carolina also is looking. Any other teams I'm missing?
You know, we've heard a little bit of talk that you know, at the NHL level, that there might be some moves around, and you know, even the New York Islanders could be a team that's looking a little more
actually get a goalie coach. You mean?
Well, they have Mike Dunham as a goalie coach, and they've had a really unique, weird situation there where Dunham has officially been the goalie coach, but when Jaro Halak was there, he was allowed to sort of bring in his own guy.
Yeah.
Jacques Champagne to sort of run drills for him. So, because Dunham isn't a very hands-on, he doesn't do as much of the day-to-day work as we've come to expect most goalie coaches to do. That's just the reality as it's been painted to me from goalies in that organization for the past few years. So Halak was allowed to bring in his own guy, and even though Yarrow's still in the mix, it doesn't sound like his guy will be, and so there's some buzz out there in the goalie coaching circles that they're looking for a guy. So that, you know, like, there's a lot of openings out there, there's a lot of moving parts. Will there be young guys getting gigs? I saw Mike Russo, obviously one of the best beat guys out there that covers the Minnesota Wild, already tweet that Dwayne Roloson has indeed interviewed for the Colorado Avalanche job. Not surprised by that, in that they're an organization that hasn't typically gone full-time with the position. Frankly, they're an organization that has cut corners financially with the position, and that might fit Dwayne Roloson, who walked away from the Anaheim Ducks because they were unwilling to make him a part-time coach. They wanted a full-time guy there in Anaheim with John Gibson, and Roloson wasn't willing to commit that much. But if he's, you know, again, still looking for part-time work, and the way the Avs typically treat that position, there might be a fit there.
Now, you look at Colorado and Francois Allaire and, you know, Varlamov. Now, Varlamov uses a Finnish goalie coach, I think, in the off season. His name escapes me right now, Kevin. I'm sure you know who it is.
Parkilla, and I'm not so much, I believe, in the off season as well, but it's a coach that worked for SKA or CAC. I always mess that up. The Moscow KHL team. Let's go with that one. Been there for a while. Bobrovsky's worked with him as well. Finnish coach, works in Russia, highly regarded. Varlamov has talked in the past about bringing him over to work with him in North America. So certainly there might be an option. It's one I floated a couple of years ago. There are a lot of really good European goalie coaches. The question that comes back is there's an adjustment. Just as the goalies have to adjust to a game that is on top of them so much quicker on the smaller rinks in the NHL compared to overseas, that would be a tactical adjustment in terms of how you're coaching as a goalie coach. And for Parkilla in particular, massive pay cut from what I understand to come. And again, this shows you, as much as the NHL is considered the best in the world, the way it treats the goalie coach position is far behind a lot of other countries and a lot of other leagues. I was told it would be a big pay cut for him to come to the NHL, and that was the NHL. I'm guessing that's an even bigger pay cut to come to the NHL and work for the Colorado Avalanche.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. What'd you think of Bernier's performance? Obviously, it wasn't very good in Game 6 against the Predators. And do you think the Ducks should have possibly went after and tried to get Miller out of Vancouver at the deadline?
You know, it was a tough spot for Bernier. And I think it's real easy to look at the results and forget that, hey, he just hadn't played a lot in a long time. And to overlook how good he was for them down the stretch, their seeding in the playoffs, their home, you know, the fact that they went in with home ice and so, like, that was all about the performance Jonathan Bernier put in down the stretch when John Gibson was hurt. But that being said, yeah, because I said it at the time, to me, Ryan Miller, whether it was Ryan Miller or whether it was anyone else, if you didn't have complete faith in Jonathan Bernier, and there were times this season it didn't look like it, especially before that play down the stretch, which was pre-deadline, you had to make the upgrade because you're going into the playoffs. It's not that John Gibson was a 23-year-old and he's unproven. He's done great things in the past. To me, it is and will continue to be John Gibson style, which is going to be prone to more ups and downs. I said that when they traded Anderson. I thought it was a mistake. I thought they let go of the wrong guy, but Gibson made less. The part about Gibson's game, though, that, you know, even if you disagree and you think that he's so good athletically that he can make up for the lack of technical execution, that there's just so much great instincts that you don't want to coach it out of him, the way he plays unquestionably adds stress to his body. I can prove it. I can show video and break down the biomechanics. You know, if the amount of times, it's not just that he ends up sprawled. I mean, Marty Berger used to make a lot of head first dives, and when you talk to butterfly mechanic goalies, they're like, yeah, that's a lot less taxing physically than doing a butterfly recovery push. But Gibson, there's so much counter rotation in his game and the way he moves and the way he stretches out that he's always going to put extra stress on his lower body. And, you know, we're a few years into his career here, and this has been a recurring theme. So as good as Bernie was down the stretch at the trade deadline, I thought they should have gotten an upgrade. I thought that it was a bold strategy to go into the playoffs counting on Gibson again, not just style-wise, but because of his inability to stay healthy, in part because of that style. And it's kind of hard to look back now and not say that it didn't bite them.
Okay, before I let you go, there's a free goalie seminar coming up in Spruce Grove.
Yeah, you know, Eli Wilson Goaltending, and the parents can go to his website and look for the exact sort of dates and location, but I really like this. Full disclosure, he is a guy that we work with at In Goal Magazine, a coach that advertises with us, that works with us fully, and so we support a lot of the things he does. But I really like the fact that he's putting on a free clinic here. He's doing it in Spruce Grove. It's going to be, I believe, in August. I apologize for not having it in front of me right now. But check his website and look for those details. Not often that you get this opportunity. I'm sorry, it's August 12th and 13th. This is a two-day camp, full days, 9:30 in the morning to 5:15. And just a great opportunity for 12 and 13-year-olds. I know how expensive the position can be. He knows how expensive the position can be. And so this is an attempt in that area to give back by offering this free two-day camp. And it's the full camp. You're going to have like high-level shooters, two on-ice sessions with coaches at every station per day, two shooters per station, nutrition, lunches, off-ice training, mindset training, just like you get in a full, you know, pay-to-go Eli Wilson camp. These 2 days is going to be free, and you know, kind of kudos to him. It'll be out in Spruce Grove, August 12th and 13th. I would suggest that parents that are interested in signing up, this is going to fill quick. Check out EliWilsonGoaltending.com and take advantage of the opportunity.
Now, did you say it's only for 12 and 13-year-olds?
I believe it is novice and Adam-aged goaltending.
Novice and Adam. Okay, it's the 12th and the 13th of August for Adam and novice-age goalies, and if anybody wants to use that. And keep in mind, if you're one who can afford a lot of camps, then maybe let it go to the people who can't afford camps.
That's a good point. And that's the idea here, is this position has gotten expensive. And, you know, his scholarship fund, we work with the day with Carey Price every year in August, and it's a great day, and people pay a lot to be there and be around Carey and learn a lot. All that money goes back into the scholarship fund, which provides equipment to kids that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford the position. This is a chance for some of those kids to get on the ice with some really high-end goaltending coaching and experience it, for sure. So thanks, Jason.
Kevin, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, take care.
You betcha. Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com. That's our big guest of the day, brought to you by Shatified. If you want a great straight razor shave or stylish haircut, get Shatified at Shatified.com. Adam Oates, Jason Strudwick coming up at 3 o'clock. We got a lot of text to get to at 10-12-60. Dial us up 444-1260 or email us in our SLH inbox, Gregor at TSN1260.ca.